You there! This is Dave and Jason.
Hey!
From DC On Screen. It's that time again. We need help from you to grow our show. But keep listening, because there's something in it for you. Give us a 5-star written review on iTunes for a chance to win a free DC trade paperback, DVD, or Blu-ray valued at $15 or less. 1 in 10 will win. The winner will be randomly selected with a number generator on random.org and announced on one of our news episodes. It's pretty simple, really.
Free stuff.
Hooray! Anyway, yeah, seriously, do that. It helps us a lot. It's, like, so good. Anyway, sit back. Enjoy this brand new episode of DC On Screen. Welcome into DC On Screen, your guide to the DC Universe on film and television. This is episode 210. I am your host, David C. Robertson. This is my co-host, Jason Goss.
Hey!
If it's been released, we're bound to get spoilery on it. Sorry, guys. Go watch stuff.
And then hang out with us.
But first, I want to get this out of the way, because why not? Everybody knows that listens to this show. We are sponsored by Loot Crate. This theme for October, if you're into horror, I mean, obviously, come on, Halloween. You knew they were going to do horror, right?
Yeah, gotta be.
They are taking 40 years of creepy, campy, bloody icons, putting them in this month's crate.
Mm-hmm. And then they're going to fight. I
mean, man, we're talking about The Walking Dead, Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Halloween. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe and receive that month's crate. And if you don't do that, well, I can't help you. But go to lootcrate.com/giantsizeteamup, enter the code giantsizeteamup, and maybe we can get you a little something off on that.
Mm-hmm.
It's less than $20 a month anyway.
Yeah.
Just slide it on in, baby. Get it in there. Get you some kind of weird horror shit. Mm-hmm. Scare your kids with it, because that's what good
spirit.
Parents do.
Yeah. Where were you raised? We just called it the monthly frightening.
The monthly frightening.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow. So this is going to be kind of a short-ish episode.
Bound to happen every now and then.
One, because we're recording this like 2 days early. Had some prior commitments on Monday, so kind of had to do it today on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's early just news. A slow news week. Just a slow news week. Just nothing's going on. A couple of things happen, so we're going to talk about them. First up, DCEU news in general. Jeff Bukes, the Time Warner chairman CEO, told investors on Wednesday that he thinks there is a little room for improvement in the execution, the creative execution for the WB movies, the DC movies specifically. He did, you know, stress that he did stress that those two titles, BVS and Suicide Squad, were financially successful.
Mm-hmm.
They did do what they wanted them to do. But he says that the DC Comics characters have a little more lightness in them than maybe what you saw in those movies. So we're thinking about that.
It's been clear for a minute now that they were going to go down that road. Yeah. It's just, it keeps cracking me up now that it's a newsworthy bit every time. Like, all right, they've already agreed. All right, we're going to go lighter.
Yeah.
You know what's funny though? If the Marvel guy had come out and said, like, hey, there's a little room for improvement, he would be like lauded as a humble, like, oh man, look, it's an executive, it's in touch with his people, he wants to make it even better. This guy comes out and he in the face of the public, he just appears to be hugely self-unaware.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, there were people hitting their screens going, a little room, you fucker.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's, you know, they keep leaning on the whole, like, look, we're bringing in Geoff Johns and John Byrd. They're going to fix it. And that's fine. Mm-hmm. We've been told this over and over again. We know this. This is what's happening. Huh. Proof is going to be in the pudding. I guess we'll see if it worked.
Uh-huh.
Which Bukes is saying their strategy has already worked. The execution did deliver what we wanted it to. We can do a little better on the creative. We're right on course or better with the plan. So, I mean, that's him referencing Suicide Squad being so damn leggy at the box office. It's made over $720 million so far.
It hadn't even hit DVDs yet.
He said the main thing was to launch DC and reinvigorate it with the fan base, which I think it did. based on Tumblr, Twitter, and all the people talking. Like, the fans are digging this, and a lot of the fans are anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe not as many as there should be, but
many are. It was a very divisive movie because it took a very specific tack. I mean, what are you gonna do? Some people are gonna hate it. Some people are gonna love it.
The reboot of Batman with Ben Affleck in the role was a big success. He said that the fan reaction to Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman has been very positive, which is completely true.
About just 100%. No one walked away and went, well, but Wonder Woman was terrible. That didn't happen.
Actually, a while back, Screensplosion, our buddies Steve West and Jacob Raspberry were talking about it. And Steve said he had dinner with some lady who was like, who is the lady with superpowers at the end of Batman v Superman? He's like, oh, that was Wonder Woman. She was like, that was Wonder Woman? I was like, that's kind of obvious, but whatever.
The giant W's on the chest plate didn't help. Okay.
Right. Or the lasso.
Or the lasso. Or the electron cleaving sword. Or, you know, nothing. Okay.
Yeah. Did you not know because she didn't spin around for 20 seconds?
I don't know.
Before she did anything?
That was probably it. Yeah. Yeah. She didn't hear the music cue. Hey, I'll give her this, though. Like, that's a huge change in music cue from the, like, what you're doing to... You know, that's a big turnaround. It's a big turnaround.
Yeah.
But still.
Oh, that's not my Wonder Woman. She's not wearing a one-piece bathing suit.
Also, they said her name in the course of the movie.
They did.
Anyway.
They didn't say Wonder
Woman. No reasonable persons thought that was... I'll rephrase that.
You know, I've had that for years, though. It's like, I went to a Christian school. I'd be, like, drawing Batman, and, like, somebody would... he looks evil. Why does he look evil? He looks like the devil. I'm like, that's Batman. That's not any Batman I've ever seen.
Well, I mean, hopefully if you're a mugger, he should look like the devil. That's the point.
Nah, man, they wanted Adam West. Yeah. Anyway, over to some Batman v Superman news. They put out, like, this... I don't remember who it was. I'm sure I wrote it down somewhere, but it's not here. A Man of Steel Batman v Superman comparison was released.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see this thing? Did I show this to you?
I didn't catch that one.
Okay. I thought I sent you a whole bunch of stuff to look at, but whatever. Yeah, anyway.
Maybe.
Totally cool comparison. And I had not even noticed this, and I feel stupid. There is a comparison scene where it's like, it compares Man of Steel, where Zod whips his stabber thing out and guts Jor-El.
Mm-hmm.
In Man of Steel, the way, like, the shots they use when, like, Zod is looking at Jor-El, the way Jor-El falls, and with the way Doomsday whips his stabber thing out and guts Superman, they have similar shots of how Zod and Doomsday looking at their ill victims, mm-hmm. then with the same exact timing and in almost the same way, father and son fall.
That's pretty dope. That's kind of neat. Of course, somebody else is going, yeah, Snyder's ripping himself off now. Matter of how you see it.
Just not something I'd noticed before. It was a thoughtful piece of filmmaking that I missed, and I appreciate it. Thought I would mention it on the show.
Right.
Three more Batman v Superman Easter eggs were confirmed. Some of them were kind of half Easter eggs. Twitter user Jesse Parker 2914 realized that KG Beast's janitorial outfit had the name Clay, I reckon for Clay Anus, mm-hmm. and was from Terrio Janitorial, Chris Terrio being a writer on the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Enos responded and said that those crew names are legally cleared. That's why you see crew names used from time to time. They're half Easter eggs. Man of Steel 37013 on Twitter says, hot damn, Zack Snyder is very detailed. Clay Enos, can you confirm that's what the PB means on the canisters?
Lead.
The canisters that are filled with kryptonite that Batman is messing around with. Enos confirms that it is lead. That is the periodic
table.
Yeah.
That thing you haven't thought about in God knows how long, right?
Yeah, that's deep. Yeah. That's a deep track. He didn't have to scroll those on. Clay says, lead, exactly. Nothing happens by accident in Zack's movies.
Yeah.
Jeez. Twitter user JD2413 pointed out that the mother box that created Cyborg has a government ID of 61982. Cyborg first appeared in Tales of New Teen Titans number 1, which was June of 1982.
Now that one's neat.
Yeah.
That one's super neat.
Yeah.
That one, I mean, that buried pretty deep too.
Mm-hmm. So those are some fun things. I like Easter eggs from time to time.
Yeah, of course.
Over to Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad, the album, is the only soundtrack this year to go gold.
It's a good soundtrack, man.
That means it sold 500,000 copies.
But that's a lot of copies for a CD these days.
Yeah.
I've actually, it's a pretty decent jogging soundtrack, actually.
I mean, I don't know that it was, that is necessarily the CDs. It may have just been albums, period, over all mediums. But I do remember a few months ago when it was doing really well, it was like number one on the charts, and they were saying like something like 70% of those were physical copies, which is mind-boggling.
That's surprising. I would have thought the exact opposite.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And like, you don't get a lot of physical copies of things these days because, I mean, it's just too easy to get like a $9.99 a month Spotify or Apple Music and just have all of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just too damn easy.
Yeah. So over to Wonder Woman news. Alina Anaya. This is the lady that has the mask on in the trailer that's all like cracked and shit.
Yeah. Been wondering about her.
Yeah. She says it was a small role in this big ensemble. And by the way, this is translated. In this big ensemble, but it is an important character in the story. It's directed by Patty Jenkins. Then there's Gal Gadot as our main lead. Chris Pine as her co-lead. And I'm going to be a big nightmare for the two of them.
Okay. I'm just as confused as I was before, but I'm intrigued.
Hey, she's a villain.
She looked villainy, but I was willing to put my money on that one anyway.
Sure. Well, she looked also kind of victim-y.
Yeah, maybe.
And that was like, and it would be set in the days that like people had like those big like porcelain prosthetics.
Sure. That mask looked too ominous. I had my money on villain, and they shot her. They shot her a certain way.
Mm.
In the trailer, I mean.
Right. They shot her a certain way.
In the face, yeah. You only shoot villains in the lower jaw. Good guys get shot in the temple.
So, Henry Cavill did a little thing for Make-A-Wish. He posted a short message with a photo. And there were a couple of kids there. He said, I had the good fortune of meeting some real superheroes last week. Oren, your strength is exceptional. And Summer, your support is a rock that is irreplaceable. You are both inspirations to us all. And the picture, you know, they're like all posing. And he is smiling with his hands on his, like his fists on his hips.
Mm-hmm.
In the background, you see all these like really cool Justice League standees. Like, I don't even think we've seen these before. They haven't been released. But they're like the cardboard standees, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that was badass. Not really anything new there as far as what they look like, but, you know, we haven't seen those before. And like I said, slow news week.
picture of him standing in front of cardboard smiling it qualifies this week.
It does. Especially since one of our buddies on Twitter, Imperious Lex, cut out just the picture of him smiling and was like, there, he's smiling. Are you contented now, you bastards? Or something like that. It made me laugh.
Are you not entertained?
So, Art Spear Entertainment's Toon Sandwich series, they put out a cartoon spoof of the Comic-Con Justice League trailer. Did you watch this thing?
No, the spoof, yeah.
Yeah. Some of it was pretty funny. I enjoyed it. You guys should go check it out. I'll put up a link in the show notes.
Oh, I got several chuckles. My favorite part is definitely the cyborg toast.
The cyborg toast? I didn't think the cyborg toast was funny at all.
Took me by surprise, man. Took me by surprise.
What I really enjoyed was Batman going, I'm only real when it's useful. And he's like, is it useful? And he goes, nah. Poof.
Yeah.
And then she's like, Wonder Woman's like, Cyborg, who are you talking to? And it goes into like the X-Files theme. And I really loved I didn't like it at first, the Barry's twin brother that Bruce accidentally kills.
Yeah.
When he shows up and Flash gets his head blown off, not again,
yeah.
Cracked me the hell up.
Actually, a little bit in the background on that, if you see it, is when Barry shows up at his apartment and Bruce is there, in the background they have a television station. It's like 24-hour Skull's TV or something. just a skull on TV.
Did you did you see what was written on the Batarang?
No.
If found, return to Wayne Manor.
That's good. And what on her shield, I think it said like one shield to rule them all.
Yes, it did. Yeah. It absolutely did. I even enjoyed the trident in Bruce's shoulder with the note that said, "I'm not interested."
Yeah, that was good.
That was good. I'm looking for alcoholics with body tats or whatever that was. Right. That was funny. So yeah, good job. I didn't find the entire thing funny, obviously, but the toast, I didn't like the toast necessarily. But it was mostly funny.
It just took me by surprise. And it seemed incredibly useful too.
I didn't say it wasn't useful. I didn't say I wasn't
envious. Man's got toast on the go. You get hungry out in the field.
I know. He's like, "I don't have a stomach."
I mean, at some point he's out there and, you know, Bruce is just going like, Alfred hasn't fed me in 3 days. There you go, buddy. Chicken. Here's some field toast.
Yep. So apparently a number of fans really, really want Shia LaBeouf to play Jason Todd.
Okay. I don't know. It's not like he's a bad actor. Dude's just hard to wrangle. I don't want to spend like 5% of the movie's budget just keeping him in check.
Yeah, well, Change.org has a petition up to get him instated as Jason Todd. Mm-hmm. There are about 3,200 supporters so far. I don't care either way.
No,
there's a rabid, rabid fan base who are like protesting this as if it's actually going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because they just want Jensen Ackles from Supernatural to be the character, and I'm like, dude, he is too old at this point.
Yeah.
Yes, I know he did the voice. I know.
And did a fine job. And, dude, him 10 years ago would probably be about spot on.
But I don't like Jensen Ackles.
I got nothing against him.
I've got everything against him.
Apparently he can carry a show for, like, 24 seasons.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why I don't like him. When I was a kid, I saw him on Days of Our Lives, you know? And he just kind of always annoyed me. And then
I remember that.
And then he was on that Dark Angel show with Jessica Alba.
Yep.
And he annoyed me there, too.
Just one of those guys you're just never gonna.
Yeah, never it's gonna just like his face. he was one of the big reasons that I quit watching Smallville in the original run, because he showed up in season 4 as Lana's boyfriend, and I was just like, I'm out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Only to be back like in his, so hard.
Yeah, and then his character left like the episode after I stopped watching.
Like I said before, I did that with Game of Thrones. Like, I watched a few episodes and thought, oh, it's moving so slow. And then apparently the next episode, like, 12 people died. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, too late now.
It's not too late. You can go back.
No, man. I found out about that, like, 3 years later after I'd already heard about some other stuff.
Yeah.
2 or 3 years later.
But, yeah, I didn't even, like, no one even told me. I was just like, no, I'm going to power through. I want to watch the rest of Smallville. So I, like, watched the first couple of 2 or 3 seasons. And so I'm like, okay, here's season 4, man. And, like, I got to the point where I remembered still. And, like, the next episode, he was gone. I was like, oh, well, that was weird. It
was anticlimactic. I was ready for so much.
He's not a bad actor. I just don't like him. I don't know why. I really don't know why. I'm sorry, yeah. Jensen. I'm sorry, dude. I don't know why.
Everybody's got a couple of those people.
You might still win me over. I mean, Chickless won over Jason.
It's true. This is true. I'm actually excited about him now. But we went over that in a previous episode.
So over to Gotham, there is a lot of hubbub on the interwebs about whether or not Barbara Keene is going to become Harley Quinn. The executive producers have said they will probably go and use Harley Quinn at some point, and it could be someone we have seen on the show. To me, Barbara is the obvious choice, so I wouldn't be surprised if it... I wouldn't be surprised if it was her. I also wouldn't be surprised if it was someone else completely.
It's going to be Barnes. They said they were going to do something real funky with him. You're just imagining him in the outfit now, aren't you? Do it, Dave.
Sadly, do it. Sadly, it's the Daddy's Little Monster outfit, too. Mm. And it's not... That's the funniest version of it, though.
You know, I was enjoying my little prank, but now I feel bad.
Yeah, that pudding choker just smushes the fat. Anyway,
just imagine him saying pudding. That'll haunt you for a little while.
But what if it's Leslie Tompkins at the end of the
day? That'd be fun.
Like, seriously, like if we... That's what I was thinking, like maybe like we go down this road of Jim being the Joker. I don't know. Probably not. Mm-hmm. My favorite theory, though, is that it's Silver St. Cloud.
Yeah, could be. She's got the psych background for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that could work.
Anywho, who knows what they're going to be doing. So, here's something they did, and I was afraid of this. And I didn't, like, we saw the beginning of this on the premiere episode. Dude grabs Ivy. She kind of ages up a little bit and jumps down into this hole, or falls down in this hole.
Mm-hmm.
They think she's dead. We know that she's going to be coming back as, like, the older Poison Ivy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a Hollywood Reporter interview with producer Ken Woodruff. And in that interview, he says, he gives the reason why they decided to do this to her and change the character. And I hate it. I hate it. It's disgusting to me. He says, the character Ivy in the comics, one of her greatest powers is the power of seduction. We want to explore that classic, canonical power of Ivy. He is really pushing that this is a thing that was from the comics.
Mm-hmm.
He is trying to get as little flack for this as possible. And I think that's hilarious.
Yes. Good luck, buddy.
And we didn't just make her older with that attack. When she's changed and transformed, there's a real character change as well.
Well, there better be. Otherwise, you just vixenized like a 12-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm. She'll still have some of the same traits, but she'll be much darker, more manipulative than the Ivy we've seen so far. There's a more evil quality to her as well. It's more than just physical. But with all of this talk of the power of seduction,
mm-hmm.
whether you age her up physically or not, she's still a 15-year-old girl, dude.
Yeah, it's just weird. I'm not digging that.
It's weird, and like you just admitted, by the way, that the reason that you did something was so that you could have a sex pot on the show.
Yeah.
You could sex it up on the show.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that.
Mm-mm.
I don't want to see this little, because I'm sure there are some weirdos out there who will be tuning in like, oh yeah, finally. But me, I'm going to be sitting there going like, no, last week that was like a 15-year-old girl.
Yeah, it's going to be hard for me to get over that. They're going to have to write it. They're going to have to do something special.
And also, talking about making her darker, and dude, she was creepy.
Yeah.
The girl that was playing her was creepy.
Super creepy.
She was already kind of evilish.
Yeah.
You could see her. And see, I think this is like them taking, like, just the dude touching her is going to like turn her evil. Man, that girl was creepy. She was.
Yeah.
Like, she was messed up. You could tell she was damaged. That girl played it so well anyway. If they had invested any amount of time, they could have, and decided not to take the easy way out.
That's what I don't like about this, though. As much as it feels just plain creepy, and it does. The other part about it that I hated is that the show's premise is that you get to see these people grow up, and you just pulled like a cheat code.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what we tuned in for. I wanted to see it.
No, yeah, I mean,
I wanted to see that little girl grow up and get her botanical powers and. I mean, if she ended up growing up to be a seductress or something, write it in there and let's do that. But
and if you follow the books or the, critically lauded Batman animated series, you'll see that she was already well on her way to becoming Ivy. Mm-hmm. Her character was already Ivy.
Yeah.
You didn't have to, Uma Thurman her up.
And that's the other part that I didn't like about this, is it feels like they just wanted to get to the Uma Thurman stage,
mm-hmm.
which is A, misguided, and B, not well executed.
Well, I mean, despite, some writers and fans' desire to make Poison Ivy, this, sex pot or, specifically lesbian or, I mean, she's asexual. She really, that's the intended, she just uses whatever she has at her disposal to get wants.
She seems to be more in love with her plants than anything, and then if she ends up in a relationship, mm-hmm. it's more like a fleeing from her plants. It's like something she's doing in between time with her plant.
Yeah, she has... kind of like Dini talks about it as in the original Batman animated series, she actually was a little more close to humanity, but by the time you get to the new adventures, she's very removed from humanity.
Mm-hmm.
She just doesn't give a shit about anything like that anymore.
Yeah, just not her problem.
The last real humanity we see from Ivy in that regard is in that series is when she's what was it called, House and Garden, when she's created that plant family.
Yeah, the little plant family. I mean, her on the plane is touching, but it's still just...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's still warped beyond reason.
Yeah.
Anyway. Again, this is me bitching about them not living up to my own personal expectations, so I'll see where they take it, but I gotta say, not digging the whole, let's sex up a 15-year-old. Just not.
It's just
not digging it. This is creepier than what you did with Bruce and Silver last season. I'm sorry. It just is.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, ugh. Just, I'm tired of watching Gotham and getting the ick factor. Like, I don't want to feel like an ick. Ugh, yeah. Whatever. Moving on. Supergirl season trailer, sky trailer released. That's what they're calling it, the sky trailer.
Sure.
Have you seen this thing?
Yeah. I mean, sky trailer sounds more glamorous than, like, trailer number one.
It does, but, you know, they call them these different things.
They call them these things now, these kids.
Not a whole lot to see. Something's coming for them to team up. Doesn't show us a lot. I personally think the cinematography looks better than it did on CBS.
So far I've agreed, yeah. The flying looks
a little
weird.
Yes, it looked a little more stylized. I really enjoyed, like, the trailer they put out a couple weeks ago with her taking off looked like the CGI from The Flash, which is, I would say, usually a great thing.
Yeah.
In motion, I think Tyler Hoechlin looks very good as Superman so far. I'm pretty excited about this. So, yeah. They have released a synopsis for the first episode, which I believe is called The Adventures of Supergirl. The CW has a new hero, and she's bringing Superman with her when a new threat emerges in National City. Kara and slash Supergirl teams up with her cousin Clark Kent slash Superman, because we don't know who that is, to stop it. Kara is thrilled to have family in town, but it leaves Alex feeling a bit left out. Meanwhile, Hank and Supergirl are stunned by the pod that came crashing to Earth. There we go. Yeah. This is going to be a Greg Berlanti and Andrew Kreisberg story, essentially. So
yeah,
that comes out Monday night, October 10th, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, the wait is not long.
So Brenda Strong is joining the Supergirl cast in a recurring role. They're not saying what that is. I meant to check and see who she was because I saw a picture of her and I think I know who she is. Yeah, that's Sue Ellen Mischke from Seinfeld. The braless wonder.
I don't remember that at all.
Oh, it's a good one. Elaine actually, like, gives her a bra to try to tell her she needs to wear a bra. And instead, she decides to wear it as a top around town.
Gotcha.
She's a good actress, though. She's funny. I don't know how that'll play, but maybe I'm sure she doesn't have to be funny.
I'm just not sure how a lot of Supergirl is going to play yet. I mean,
yeah,
they moved a couple of their pieces. I want to get to the end of episode one of this season with them and just see where we are.
Yeah. So David Harewood did an interview with Fred Topple, I believe is the pronunciation, over at Showbiz Junkies. I'll put up a link to that. It's a good interview. It's a lot of fun. Here's the biggest stuff that I took out of it, though. Fred says the Martian Manhunter history was touched upon in season one. What do you want to see pulled in from this mythology in season two? And Harewood says probably having his brother, and I'm not going to pronounce this correctly, probably having his brother Ma'el Fahak, who kind of masquerades as John in some of the comics and almost ruins the Justice League. Having a bad guy brother who is apparently responsible for the death of Mars would be pretty awesome. Would be a pretty awesome foe to deal with. We have to wait and see. Dude, that is a deep pull.
I mean, he's done his research.
Yeah.
Or that's pending and he's just letting it slip.
Yeah. And Fred says, how does Superman react to having you around? Harewood says, I have to say, there's going to be a little bit of tension. The first two scripts really kick it off, really kicks it off with Superman and Martian Manhunter. There's a history, and that's what's great. You see a bit of backstory immediately. There's another great reveal of how they met and why they fell out, so it's pretty cool. It's something I'm excited about. Me too.
Yeah.
I want to see all of that.
Yeah.
Also, they did not apparently tell David Harewood who he was playing. They waited until the week before shooting to tell him he wasn't Hank Henshaw, and then still didn't tell him who he was for a while.
That's dirty.
Yeah.
I like
but
it.
There's more of the interview. He talks about the show and stuff, but we're going to move on to The Flash. They put out a new poster. It doesn't look great at first. It looks like just like him with like a bunch of red around him.
Mm-hmm.
But then like you start looking at it and it looks pretty cool if you actually look at it for a second. Just saw a bunch of people bitching about it. Like, this is the Flash poster with the season? What the hell? I'm like, guys, calm down.
Just a poster.
Good job.
I mean, just a poster. I saw it and I never did look too closely at it. So I didn't like stare at it looking for clues or anything. I just like saw it and went, oh yeah, Flash, cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's like...
I think that was all I was expected to do with it, though, right?
It's a bunch of red and yellow. It looks like him running. But, you know, it was intricate red and yellow. It was an intricate Photoshop job. I don't know what you guys are complaining about. On the poster, it says New Destinies, New Dangers. I'm down. I don't know.
Everyone just wanted like a picture of him punching Garrod in the jaw.
I guess so.
Which sounds great. I'll take that poster.
They've released a premiere synopsis. The aftermath, Barry realizes the effects from Flashpoint are much greater than he thought. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Barry meets new coworker Julian Albert and is surprised by Julian's immediate disdain for Barry. It was directed by Ralph Hemecker, written by Aaron Helbig and Todd Helbig. So, yeah, there's that. Not a whole lot they're wanting to give out there, apparently. There is a rumor that, well, I mean, it's not really a Chantel Van Satten, who played Patty Spivot, mm-hmm. it's not really a rumor when she says there's a very strong possibility if everything works out, she'll be returning.
I can dig that. She was good.
I love Patty. Mm-hmm. I know he's supposed to wind up with Iris, but I like Patty.
Yeah, we were dubious about her, and then we fell in love with her. They were just so damn cute together,
yeah,
being all and awkward on each other.
I like Iris, and I like him winding up with Iris, but, you know, I just as long as I see that Patty's happy, because I like Patty.
Yeah. We said that many times. I just want her to be happy wherever she is now.
You know, you always say, like, we don't care about the romance aspect of these shows. I'm like, except for Patty.
But then they just make one that's too damn cute.
Yep.
Yep.
They have released an Arrow Season 5 poster. It says, his fight, his city, his legacy. And it's like a shot. It's like a crotch shot, almost. It's a worm's eye view of Oliver standing with the city around him. And, yeah, it's a pretty dope poster. I dig it.
Mm-hmm. I like that one.
Hopefully the season will be as good.
Yeah. They look like they're going more for hand-to-hand street brawls this year, which is, mm-hmm. that was the mm-hmm. right way. That was the right place to go.
Which I'm a little sad because, like, he's back in sleeves.
Yeah, that's fine.
I kind of like the bare arm, though. Made it feel more like the comics.
Yeah.
Anyway, Arrow Season 5, they have a premiere synopsis for Legacy. Suit up, Oliver's new recruits for Team Arrow are Curtis, Wild Dog, and Evelyn Sharp. Unfortunately, the Green Arrow's training methods proved to be too much for some of them to handle. Meanwhile, by the way, they didn't mention Ragman. Mm-mm. Meanwhile, in the flashbacks, Oliver's initiation into the Bratva continues. James Vanford is directing this one. Written by Speedweed and Beth Schwartz. I can't get over Speedweed, man.
Nah.
Can't get over that name.
Also, he's treated as well, too. A lot of his episodes have been good.
Mm. See, over to Legends. No, wait. Before we get to Legends, Arrow is bringing back some cast members for the 100th episode. Guggenheim tweeted out a picture of the Arrow 100th episode table read with the caption, "No Flashpoint, no flashbacks." And Robert Queen was there.
Hmm.
Yeah, and Katie Cassidy tweeted out a thing saying that indicated that she would be in the 100th episode as well. So
Well, now I'm intrigued. No flashpoint, no flat. Basically said, no, this is not bullshit. This is a real thing that happens.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be neat.
Now, actually, officially over to Legends of Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. It's the one we're gonna have to wait the longest for. It's like was it October 13th? I want to say.
Yeah. October 13th. Lost and Found, guest starring Stephen Amell. Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
After the defeat of the immortal villain Vandal Savage and the exposure of the corrupt Time Masters, a new threat emerges. Dr. Nate Haywood, an unconventional and charming historian, is thrust into the action. After making a shocking discovery, Nate seeks out Oliver Queen for help in finding the scattered legends.
Mm-hmm.
Once reunited, the Legends continued their new mission to protect the timeline from temporal aberrations, unusual changes to history that spawn potentially catastrophic consequences. Their first stop is 1942 to protect Albert Einstein from being kidnapped before the Nazis destroy New York City with a nuclear bomb. Meanwhile, Ray notices that Sarah has a mission of her own, which leads them both to face her nemesis, Damien Dark. Victor Garber, Arthur Darvill, Dominic Purcell, and Franz Drame also star. I guess they don't have much of a storyline this episode.
No, but that's what they promised us.
That is what they promised us.
This is a good thing. It spread themselves too thin last year, and
it
ended up making some of the... It didn't play as well, so that's what they promised us this year.
This episode's directed by Dermot Downs and written by Mark Guggenheim, Phil Klemmer, and Greg Berlanti and Chris Fadok. So... It'll be back October 13th,
mm-hmm.
Thursday, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Comments to jiggling, y'all. A
couple of Thursdays from now, but still Thursday.
Mm-hmm. And they put out a season 2 poster, which is just badass. It's like, I don't know, like with the colors, the way that it's like citrus sci-fi, man.
Yeah.
It's...
it looked the most like an actual comic book cover of any of the posters I've seen this year.
Yep, it did. So, it also it has Our Man on there and the new Vixen as well. So that's pretty dope. Guess what's coming to Hulu, man?
What's that?
Our buddy Randall Smith sent us this. Actually, Randall Smith and Christopher White sent us this news.
So everyone's very excited.
But Randall sent it first.
Mm.
Up your game, Chris.
Sorry.
Up your game. I'm sorry. Your game is plenty up. all 10 seasons of Smallville are going to be on Hulu.
Oh, thank goodness.
October 1st, buddy.
I can finally get around to that and get y'all off my back. Haunts me.
It's a good one, man. It's a pretty good show.
I believe you. I just haven't, I haven't had access to it in a while. So. All
right. So, yeah, I can't, you know, I can't wait to hear you either love or complain, probably both, like I did.
I get the feeling I'm going to complain for several seasons and then finally go, all right, some cool stuff's happening. And then we'll.
Yeah. We'll, I mean, cool stuff happens everywhere. Like, it starts getting deep into some stuff pretty early on that I didn't even remember it did that quickly. But the thing that, like, I always loved and hated was John Glover as Lionel Luthor coming in to give Lex little life lessons. Where he'd just come in and be like, you know, Lex, the ancient Greeks did. I'm like, oh man. Like he can't talk to his son. He just comes in, he's like, you know, in the art of war. I'm like,
yeah.
But I love John Glover to death, so
he's been neat.
He and Michael Rosenbaum were always amazing together on screen.
He just didn't have a real relationship. But other than that, they were great.
Yeah. I mean, it was played that way, though.
Yeah, I know.
It was very clearly played that way. It wasn't bad character
work by
any means.
Parents just, you know, give like a new copy of The Prince to their kids every birthday.
So, we've said it before. We don't have the hardware to accomplish the task. They did release a new episode of Batman the Telltale series.
A game which I would be playing if I could simply afford it.
Absolutely. A few weeks ago, our listener and friend Christopher White kindly reviewed the first episode, and now he is back to review episode 2, The Children of Arkham.
Hey, it's Chris here. Hey, Dave. Hey, Jason. Just wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about the Batman Telltale episode 2, Children of Arkham. Now, let me tell you, it starts off with a bang and doesn't let up until the credits roll. I mean, the first episode was kind of slow and exposition heavy, a couple of moments of action here and there, but this one is just so relentless in its storytelling and what it wants to present to you. I mean, there's a couple of really good standout moments here, like one where you get to choose on how you're going to handle a situation is either Bruce or Batman, and another one where you have to choose between saving one of Batman's allies from like impending doom. I don't want to spoil anything for you, but it's some of the most intense shit that I've ever played in a video game, and maybe even in a Batman game. I mean, I love you, Arkhams, but you can't give me what Telltale has given me so far. And if this is a taste of things to come, I am so fucking in. Now, Jason, I do share your sentiment about the games being a choose-your-own-adventure kind of thing, done with like modern and graphics, but there's just something about watching the characters that you know and love dealing with the consequences of your actions and decisions and not necessarily their own that just make this so engaging. I mean, I couldn't put it down, and by the end of it, I just wanted more. Really looking forward to episode 3, and episode 2 right now is easily a 5 out of 5 for me. Keep up the good work. I love the show, and I'll be back to talk to you guys about episode 3.
All right. Thank you, Christopher White. Dude, for a non-spoiler review, he's actually amping me up to see this. I won't play it, but I'll see it. I'll, like, watch a rendition
of it on YouTube. I think what I can afford to do is wait for someone to put up their version of the gameplay on YouTube and me catch it before Warner Brothers tears it down. That's what I can afford.
That's pretty much what I can afford to.
So someone shoot me a link if they see that happen.
So yeah, like Chris said, he'll be back at some point when they release episode 3. But they just released episode 2, so that'll be a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, thanks Chris for doing that. That's awesome. You are an amazing listener, sir. So, unfortunately, we did not get any new reviews on iTunes this week.
Mm.
So, giveaway number 2 remains stagnant.
Mm.
But, guess what did happen? John Lynette, the winner of our first giveaway, did contact us. He should be getting his his prize today. Cool. They just texted me and said it was like going to be delivered before 8 p.m. today.
Imminent.
Yeah.
They're actually pretty accurate about that.
Mm-hmm. And he did contact us and everything. And I wanted to share just this piece of it with you. He said, "I just now finished the September 13th episode and may have cheered out loud in the office when I heard my name." You pronounced Lynette perfectly, by the way.
Which is a record for us.
That's unprecedented.
Yeah.
He says, "I have always been a big Superman fan from the Smallville days and have become a huge overall DC fan the last couple of years. I have brainwashed my 3-year-old daughter into loving DC as well with Justice League, Young Justice, etc. However, I have never gotten into the actual comics and would like to start reading it with my daughter." Dude, that got me, man.
Yeah.
I rolled a couple of tears. Yeah,
I mean,
man.
You hate to hear the word brainwashed, but it's really for her own good.
Yeah, I mean, it is. But, I mean, I laughed at that, but like the, I want to, he asked recommendations for what he could read with his daughter.
Yeah.
I, you know, offered some recommendations, and he wound up getting Superman for All Seasons.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. It's a phenomenal book. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that actually reached out, touched a brother's heart.
It did.
Like, I love that kind of thing, man. I love that I helped someone read a comic book with their kid.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, so why don't you want to be like John?
Come get free stuff.
Why don't you come get free stuff, dude? Go to iTunes. I'll even put up a link to the iTunes, to our iTunes in the descriptions and on our webpage, dconscreen.com. And give us a 5-star review. You could bitch about me not being able to say something in the review. Mm-hmm. You know,
which we've gotten
like
before.
Dave doesn't just be like, give the 5-star reviews and then just write, you know, that jackass doesn't know how to say words.
We'll believe you okay. And agree.
I'll be like, mm-hmm, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No hard feelings.
But yeah, you guys know the drill. It's a trade paperback, a DVD, or a Blu-ray for $15 or less. Come on. What do you have to lose? A couple of minutes out of your day? Are you that busy?
I mean, probably. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Probably.
I'm really
sorry.
Stop
time shaming them.
Presumed. Time shaming them. All right, guys. That's all I've got for this episode that I know of. Do you have anything?
Nah, it really was slow. We got our shows back.
I mean,
that's it. The season has begun.
Yeah. Yeah. Modern Family came back with a bang. It's really good.
Yeah, I'm like a season behind. I'll catch up to that.
I'm ignoring Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah, I'll get to that sooner.
I love Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but, you know, they betrayed me. I'm a completist, and they betrayed me. 4 seasons in, they're going to have a crossover with New Girl? Screw them. I'm not watching New Girl. So
I'm going
anyway.
To ignore my completist tendencies and just go dig right into that episode.
Yeah.
I'll be fine.
I have to admit, I saw a set picture of Andy Samberg with frosted tips, and I went, oh. Anyway. Thank you so much for listening. We are DC On Screen. You can find every episode at dconscreen.com. I don't know if you noticed this, but we released 3 episodes. By the time this is out, you will have 3 new episodes this week. Gotham review, Lucifer review, news episode.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just going to ramp up from here, folks. So
mm-hmm.
Subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever the hell you subscribe to. Do what you got to do so you don't miss a single episode. And if you do, you know, there's like 50 more. So like coming in the next week.
Yeah.
Not like overall, because this is episode 210, but yeah. Anyway, we love you for listening. Thank you so much for taking the time out in your day to hear us prattle on about all of these things. Come enter our contest, DC On Screen on Facebook and Twitter. We're proud members of the Giant Size Team Up Network, giantsizeteamup.com. Proud members of the Batman Podcast Network. That's it. Until next time, keep some DC on your screen. Just do it. Just do it.